school. So it's a good moment for us to welcome the pastor to come and share the word of God. Let's put our hands together. Amen.
Praise the Lord. How you doing? Doing okay? I want you to turn to your neighbor, just high five them, tell them you're looking good this morning. Praise the Lord. This morning I'm really delighted for what the Lord has done. And he has kept us, he has protected us, he has continued to give us hope that he is coming very, very soon, amen. In spite of the things that we witness on a daily basis, just this week, as Julius was just reminding us, we woke up into one morning and in a little town in New England, you all know what happened, of a gunman who woke up in the morning and just terminated the lives of just little kids. You know, what is going on in the minds of the parents who lost those kids, I believe goes on into the heart of every parent. For every one of us dispatch our children to school, I mean, every time I think about it, I can't just reconcile my mind, you know, what I would really be thinking about. You know, I would think about my little Jeremy and Joshua. They would go to school, and as I pray with them and I bid them bye-bye, and just the thought that I will never see them again, it just grieves me. And I've been grieving, and I know, like just most of you, you've been grieving. And I read a story about a parent who was being interviewed, and it was so hard even to watch, you know, these testimonies of these parents. And this parent just said that she had two little kids in there. And when they went to the firehouse, you know, their names were never called. So terrifying. But you know what, church? There is hope. There is hope for them that know the Lord. And we have a greater responsibility. We have a greater work that we, every single one of us has some work to do to call and bombard on the heavenlies. Stop the evil, because we have, the Bible says that we have been given the key of the kingdom of heaven, and we can unlock and lock up things and evil and shut down evil. Praise the Lord. And as the news media, if, you know, tune on CNN or whatever channel you like watching, they say there's no answers to this. So many questions, but no answers. But you know what? I feel strongly that we have answers. Amen. I listened to former governor of Arkansas, Governor Huckabee, and he just put it right. He said, no form or system of government can change what happened in Newton, Connecticut. The fact remains that, you know, schools and the public places have chased God out of the public places. You know, you can't even pray in school. You can't even offer a prayer in a public gathering. That is a problem. And as long as the public or the media continue to tell us that they don't have answers, we know what the answer is. We need God to be brought back in our schools. If there is prayer every single morning in every elementary school, in every middle school, in every high school, things can change. If there is prayer in the House of Representatives, where the senators meet, if they really recognize the sovereignty of God, God can come back to this nation. And as we were praying about this issue, and you know, every single one of you, you know, I've been thinking about this. One morning, my wife woke up, I think the day following, and my wife, the Spirit of the Lord was so heavy on her. She was praying, and she said, how about the tragedy that we've gone through is so immense and so terrifying, but think about there's so many unborn babies whose lives are terminated in abortion clinics every single day. Lives just terminated. And there are babies in the womb growing. There is something that needs to take place in America. And let me tell you, church, we need to arise. We need to arise and recognize the authority that the Lord has given us. Amen? Everybody has been so emotional, including our president, and that's good. I mean, I know why he was emotional. He was emotional just as I have been emotional, thinking that the lives of these young kids have been terminated. And as he put it, some of them will never graduate. Most of them will never, you know, maybe put a wedding band on their finger. I mean, dreams have been shattered. But you know what? The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, and when they call upon the name of the Lord, he shall hear from heaven and he shall come and heal their land. We are the people. Government doesn't have any solution. No system or form of government is going to change the situation unless we recognize the position that God has given us, that we can call upon the name of the Lord and he can infiltrate in the minds of those senators, those members of the House of Congress, the president, the political parties, the whatever that is concerned in mending these laws. God can infiltrate, Julius, as you told us, but we need to pray. Nothing is going to happen unless we pray. And let me tell you, unless we do something, this is just the beginning of reports and reports and reports. I wish I can tell you that it's not going to happen, but I can tell you this for sure, that if we pray and if we recognize our position, then things are going to change. Are you listening to me? We don't want to hear young kids dying, 5, 6 year old. Those are just our kids. It's so terrifying. But I know that God can do something if we can all turn our hearts unto him and tell him, Father, please forgive this nation for the innocent blood that is shed every single day. I frequent mostly, you know, I was really frequenting to listen to programs that are broadcast by Focus on the Family. And in one of the broadcasts, you know, they were talking about how most of you medical people know what happens during abortion. But I never knew what really actually happens until I heard this documentary when they say that they normally place in like a big needle and suck off the brains of a child inside the womb of a mother. Because they don't want to bring out that child and kill it because it will be murder. But what they do, they suck off the fluids of a baby, an agonizing experience. And as this documentary say that this baby, because it is in a stage where it can feel pain, this baby is in anguish when these fluids are just sucked off the brains and the heart and the liver and those little organs that are formed, they are just sucked out of their life. And when these fluids are sucked off, now the baby is able to be released off the mother. This is murder. You know, call it whatever they want to call it, but that is murder. And it happens every single day in the abortion clinics of our country. So we have a responsibility. We need to pray. God, pray for those senators. Pray for the political parties. Pray for the president. Pray for whoever God is going to lead you to pray so that we can stop this carnage. Who knows, those babies that were killed, they'll be future evangelists, pastors of churches, men of God, you know, who would raise up, you know, who would preach, proclaim the gospel of the gospel. So, church, we need to pray. We need to realize, take our positions, because we have that authority. We can tell God something. You know, we hold the key of life and death. The keys of the kingdom of God has been given to us. As I was telling the church, that we can unlock those prison doors, because I see the minds of some senators being locked up in prison because of thinking in a wayward way. We don't want to be politically correct, but we want to be biblically correct, divinely correct. Doing everything as per the precepts of the Word of God. Right, church? You know what? And we can begin in our homes by having family altars. You know, I've been speaking to some of you who have been carrying babies in their womb. And I've been particularly speaking to the husbands. And I've been telling the husbands, begin to prophesy over that kid. Even before you have seen, set your eyes on it. Prophesy over that kid. Read the Word of God over that child. Open up the Bible. Read it aloud to that child. Hold some family altars. Hold your hands together every single day before those kids go to school. Lay your hands on them. Pray for their schools. The Bible says that one can chase 1,000. Are you listening to me? And two can chase 10,000. So when you pray over that school, you don't know what you're really lashing out in the spiritual realm, and you're stopping so much evil, even though you may not recognize or realize it. When you're praying for your children that they're not going to be confused by doctrines, and you know, nowadays in school, I don't even listen, church. It is wrong now to teach Bible in schools, but it is right to teach Quran. You see, it is in most public schools in America, it is part of the curriculum. They want to teach Islam, but when you want to teach the Bible, then no, there has to be separation of church and state. So if you don't take responsibility over your children, guess what? The teachers out there and the systems out there are not going to take care of your children. So we have to set a foundation, tell them about Jesus, tell them about God. So when they go to school and they're reading about Prophet Muhammad, who is dead, they're going to recognize this is a lie from the pits of the devil. Okay? But we don't just, so you know, just send your children, oh, bye-bye. We really need to be serious. The system is serious. The devil is serious, by the way. And he is not playing around. So we have to take that countermeasure. Pray for your children before they go to bed. Pray for them as you release them to go to school. Pray for their school. Pray even for the other schools. You know, there are people who do not know the essence of prayer. Pray for the other schools in your district. Pray for the schools in our state. Pray for the schools in the country, so that God would really move in a mighty way and come and inspire the hearts of men and women. Are you listening to me, church? I felt just to take time to just you know, send our prayers out with those little children, and I don't even know what is going through the minds of those parents, but it just really makes me feel so sad about, you know, what happened. And the God of peace is going to just overshadow them with his glory and power. Amen? Hallelujah. You happen to be in the house of God today. I would like to recognize some people just before we can hear the word of God. I saw one of my sons here a long, long time, man. His name is Pete. Pete, can you stand on your feet? Amen. How many of you remember this young man? Come here, Peter. Now, some of you may not know, but that's some of the pioneers of ECC. When we started the church, Peter was here when we didn't even have the carpet. This is the man that used to come here, clean up the stuff. He used to work on the sound booth. By the way, that beautiful picture you see there, he's the one who painted. You see that picture on the fellowship area that says, "Be still"? This is the man who did that work. And every time we see that, we are reminded of how still we ought to be in God, Pete. I'd like you to greet the church.
I guess I came on the wrong day when I lost my voice because of the cold. You know, us African men, we pretend that we are immune to the cold, and we walk without jackets out here. But I'm glad to be here today. I've been talking to Pastor Tony a lot this week, and it's as sad as it is about the tragedy that just happened in America. It's good to be back home here today. And to see faces, people like Tony, Sam, Gidi, Sister Oranja. I mean, I remember some of your names. Some of the kids, like Ron, was a little kid when I was back here. Now he looks like Pastor Tony. It's good to be back here, and let's stick together as a family, even when we're not here. Pray for each other and just support each other in every which way. I'm glad to be here. God bless you all.
Thank you, Pete. I really appreciate you. Pete is a brother to Sister Mo. She used to lead us in worship, you know, many, many months ago. And I just honor that young man. When I came to America, he put me in his car. He was taking me to Walmart, and we would not find something in this Walmart, and we would go to another Walmart, and I would ask him, why are we going to the same place? Because everything looks the same, you know. Would make a ton of say, I would tell him, we missed it. Why are we coming here? You know, and Peter, I still remember those humble beginnings when you took me to the hand, young as you were, and you never gave up on me, and thank you so much. I honor you, and it's a blessing. We have Sister Jaya. I was introduced to Sister Jaya by Evangelist Noel, and this woman, you know, together with Evangelist Noel, they have a very, very good prospective thing that they do. And she's a believer also. I'd like to come and greet the church. I know you just came in a little bit when we started. And then she'll give you just a little bit of information of what she has in a brief way. And maybe later after the service, she will be able to talk to you more about what she has. Amen. Make her feel welcome.
Thank you, and good morning to everyone, or good afternoon now, and thank you, Pastor Tony, for inviting me to come today. It's really nice to meet everyone, and really just to, you know, ask a question, and I'll be back there later, but if you were able to talk to an attorney about anything that you had a question about, you know, if you felt like you were being taken advantage of, or, you know, a very serious situation came up, if you could talk to an attorney, would you? You know, just a question for you to think about without having to worry about a high bill, you know, coming in. That's usually the biggest problem, is they're so expensive to get good advice. And what our company does, we make it very affordable, you know, under $20 a month for people to have access to attorneys for all kinds of situations that come up. And I'll talk more, you know, a little bit later on in the other room, but, you know, identity theft is a terrible problem, you know, now. And our kids are, they're having their identity stolen, and because, you know, these thieves can use them for 18, 20 years. They're stealing them when they're, you know, babies now. So, you know, that's what I'll be talking about. And most of people in our community, we don't get our wills done. And what most people don't know is when parents die without a will, their kids go to the foster care system. We recently had someone in Colorado. Both parents got into a car accident and they passed away. Their little girl, the father's sister, her aunt was trying to fight for her. It took her almost a year to get custody because they died without a will. So I'll be back there, and I'm, you know, again, really happy and thankful to be here.
Thank you. The Lord God bless you. So those who might be interested to hear more about that, you can see Evangelist Noel or Sister Jer after the service, and they'll meet in one of the classrooms. They sold me one of the, I needed really legal service pretty quick, you know, like right now, some people try to sell me over, you know, things that were happening in a business that I'm involved in, and I just called up, they just advised me to do it, and it was like just a snap, and everything was done, and I thank God. I think it's a service that is worth the trying. It's a service that that you can, there's so many things that we you know, we experience on a day-to-day basis that you need an attorney. So it's really beneficial. Turn with me in the book of Hosea, chapter number 2. And by the way, I would also want to thank God for Winnie and your husband. Thank you so much. Is that your son? Oh, my goodness. The one you're talking to me about? Oh, my goodness. Can you just tell us about him? Come on, man.
He can
give me a hug.
Okay.
Give me a hug. Well, because I prayed for you, man.
Yeah. Yep.
Nice to see you.
Yep.
Wow.
I'll tell you, God is faithful. You know, we put our children in God's hands. And we knew Shane was going to come to the Lord. And I know I have two other kids that will come to the Lord. But, you know, we pray for the children of this country. And we have a faithful God, and he doesn't let go of us. Those children may have lost their lives, but they're in the hands of the Heavenly Father. They are in the hands of the Heavenly Father. And the Bible says that their blood cries out before God. God will revenge those souls, and he does take care of us. So we need to praise God and thank him for all the good that we see, and keep believing him against the evil that we see.
Amen. Well, I just want to say that I thank Pastor Tony for the prayers that he went out, and our son being here in Texas, and prayer does, you know, God answers prayer. Absolutely. Amen.
And it's nice to see you and your son. Good to see you, buddy. You're in the right place, man. Hosea chapter 2, and we're going to give an opportunity to those of us who are, you know, our first time coming over here. We're going to give you also an opportunity to greet us after we hear the word. Amen. Hosea chapter number 2, verse number 5. I normally don't read a long portion of scripture, you know, here, but today we're going to read that whole passage of scripture because I think it's very important. Hosea chapter number 2, verses, actually, well, let's read from verse 1. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. This is what the Bible says. Bring charges against your mother. Bring charges. For she is not my wife, nor am I her husband. Let her put away her harlotries from her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and expose her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. I will not have mercy on her children, for they are the children of harlotry. For the mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. Verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in so that she cannot find her path. She will chase her lovers, but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better for me than now. Verse number 8, for she did not know that I gave her grain, new wine, and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold. Praise the Lord. I love verse 8. For she did not know that I gave her grain, new wine, and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore, I will return and take away my grain in its time, and my new wine in its season. And it will take back, and will take back my wool and my linen, given to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. I will also cause her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbath, all her appointed feasts. Verse number 12, and I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, of which she has said, these are the wages that my lovers have given me. So I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them. I will punish her for the days of the Baals to which she has burned incense. She decked herself with her earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers. But me she forgot, says the Lord. Verse number 14. Therefore, behold, I will allow her, will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her, praise Jesus. I will give her back her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. For I will take from her mouth the names of Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day I will make a covenant with them, with the beast of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. Verse 19. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice and in loving kindness and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Hallelujah. And you shall know the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, in these few minutes that we want to dissect this word, Lord, I pray that you shall inspire me. Lord, as I speak, Father, may you use me as a conduit, Lord, even to communicate this gems that are found in this word, Lord, even to your people. Thank you, Heavenly Father God. I call for attention and alertness, Father God, even into this word, that, Father God, this word shall not be stolen from our hearts in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the devourer in the name of Jesus who comes to steal the word of God from our hearts. And I pray that this word, Father God, will come strongly, that we'll apply ourselves into it in the name of Jesus so that it can bring benefit both to our souls, Lord, and to our posterity. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say amen. Amen. Now, the book of Hosea is specifically written to show the love relationship that ought to exist between us and God. Now, the children of Israel just rejected God, and even after they knew what they were supposed to follow the precepts of the word of the Lord and keep the covenant and do everything that was bestowed upon them to follow, they rejected the way of God and they choose to follow or to worship the God of the inhabitants that they found even as they moved along and as they journeyed along. And it is a dangerous thing when we have known the truth and the truth has come to set us free and to know about the goodness of God and just to look at what the Lord has done and to behold of the benefits that the Lord has given us and to turn away to the things that the Lord has, as I was telling the church last week, and to turn on the blessings and to adore the blessings and to cherish the things that the Lord has given us and to oppose the one who has offered those blessings. It's a dangerous things that for us to be in when we have known the goodness of the Lord and we have rejected his precepts and we have rejected his benefits and we now choose to embrace the things that he has blessed us with. It is a dangerous position to be in. And the Lord really loves us so much, and he admonishes Hosea to get married to a prostitute, a very difficult thing even for a man of God, a man who was proclaiming the word of the Lord for him to do, and even to absorb in his heart that, you know, what a difficult thing that it was for Hosea to just take on this word and to follow the instructions as the Lord beckoned on him to get married to a harlot. Praise the Lord. Her name was Gomer. And Hosea loved this woman, and out of their love relationship, they bore children. Praise the Lord. In spite of the fact that she was a wayward woman, a woman who did not know God, God really blessed her with Hosea. There was productivity when they were with Hosea. And God depicts, he says, that even though we many times run away from God and he is continuing on a continuous basis, he is continuing to pursue us even in our waywardness, God still cherishes for us to be productive because he sees a gem inside of us. Many times, you know, we it's very easy to just settle in a status quo and to just embrace the things that we see. Human beings is just neglected into the human race. Just we just adore the things that we see, the things that are created. We are just so much engrossed in those things, and it is very easy to be technical and mechanical in our service of the Lord. But the Bible, particularly in the book of Hosea, is admonishing us of one thing, that in spite of the fact that we may have rejected God and we may have fallen short of the glory of God, God is still interested with us. Praise the Lord. And last week, for the sake of those who never came, I found myself 2 weeks ago somewhere at night, and the Lord took me in a dream. And I'm not a dreamer. I don't dream a lot. But this particular dream was so vivid and so clear when I heard it. Because when I dreamt that we were in a setting, you know, a business setting whereby we with some friends and we were negotiating about some business deals. And they were telling me that, you know what, sometimes it's not good to be ignorant of the things that happen on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes we are engrossed in this Christian life and many times we do not even want to we don't care about what happens outside the arena of Christendom. But it is good to listen to news. It's good to know about everything that happens around us so that we can have direction of how we ought to pray. And in this particular scenario, I had my friend tell me we need to get into the court and see what normally happens in a court. You know, there was the processes of the judge, you know, and the prosecutors and everything, cases being read out. And when I sat down, there was a very, very beautiful woman. She looked so decent, and she looked everything about her. You know, you would tell this woman is really, she had her act together. She was dressed well. Her hair was very well put together. I mean, you would look at her and you would say, you just honor her for who she was. And next to her was a man also, a man who really didn't look like he had his act together. But in my dream, I saw I thought that maybe he was maybe her man, you know, her husband, or maybe a boyfriend, or maybe her significant other. But how many of you know that sometimes when you look into a husband and a wife, you are able to put two and two together and you say, wow, what a match God gave these people. They look like they have their act together, you know. But when I looked at this couple sitting next to me, the woman was so decent, and she looked everything up, man. She looked so flawless. Her hair, you know, the way she put herself together, you would tell she was a career woman. And next to her was this guy in just a ragged old jacket, and she was just relaxing, chilling. And I said, oh, I am so sorry, Sister Wanja. I didn't mean to do that. You know that, my sister? Yes. Lord, I'm so sorry. Thank you. I really, really apologize. I'm not going to come there. But anyway, in my dream, I saw a five-year-old and a six-year-old. And one of these, there were two boys. And this six-year-old came to, don't worry, she'll fix it. Don't worry. This is what she does best. And by the way, thank you for putting all those decorations in the church. It looks very nice. Don't you like the Christmas tree? Let us appreciate her. In my dream, this young boy, 5-year-old, came and told this beautiful woman. And in my dream, it was told me that this was her son. And he came and told this woman, Mom, why are you doing this? And the master is coming in 2 years. And in my dream, I was told that the master that she was talking about was actually her father. Her father had gone out on a mission. You know, they had agreed, you know, it could be probably a military assignment for 2 years. And they said they had already agreed that he was going to be gone for about 2 years. And now the son is coming to tell this woman, why are you doing this? And the master is coming back in 2 years. Are you listening to me? And then this woman, this is what, I could not see the face of this young boy, but I was told in my dream that this was the son to the woman. And this is what this woman said. You are talking in a mean way. You're talking about the master, and I have a king next to me. This is what she said. And let me tell you, when she said these words, I was so distraught. I was so horrified in my heart. I started sobbing and I could not control it in my dream. Why would she say that? Because when she said this to this son, the son just, you know, streamed away and he went back to where he was seated. And everybody started streaming out of the court, and it was time for us also to stream out of the court. And we went, when I was outside the building, in my mind, I was seeing, just write a note to write to this woman not to divorce. Because you know what she was doing in that court? She was planning to divorce her husband and get married to this king. And when I was outside the building, I was in my mind, I said, write a note. Even though you don't know her, can you go talk to her? Please talk to her. Tell her not to divorce the husband because the master is coming in 2 years. And I was feeling, no, you cannot leave. And at one moment, I felt like leaving. And at one moment, I felt like going back. I cannot, this woman cannot just divorce her husband. These kids are so precious. And when I woke up in tears. And this is, I'm telling you the truth, and God is my witness. I heard this as audibly as I'm telling you. I heard the word, the condition of the church. I heard the church. Now, the Lord from there, she started ministering to me about the dream. And this is what he told me. That, you know, in the dream, there was productivity. Okay? Even though this woman was betrothed to her Lord, and even though she is planning to divorce her master who is just about to come in 2 years, there is productivity in the name of their children. They had both children together. Are you listening to me, church? There are benefits that we have received out of a relationship with God. There are certain things that we have received out of a long relationship with God. It could be children, you know, going out in college. How many children today have never made it to college? Your children have made it to college. How many children are sick in the hospital, strapped on their beds because they have IVs just running across their bodies, but your children don't have IVs running across their bodies. See, the thing is, church, we many times we want to count our benefits in terms of monetary things, money, you know, things that are tangible, right? It's very, very easy for us, Pastor Julius, to just count our blessing in terms of how much money do I have in the bank. But in reality, I believe that God wants us to count his blessing in terms of not monetary things. God wants to behold and to think about the peace that he has given you in times of uncertainty. That even in times of when everybody's complaining about the economy, people complaining that they don't have food in their homes, you still have food in your home. That is a blessing. Amen? There are people who do not even, how many people you know today have billions and billions of dollars, but they don't have peace in their home. But you know what? When you have just the mingle, you're just barely living, but you have peace. You can glorify God in your home. That is a blessing, church of God. Are you listening to me? You can, let me tell you, if God gives you an opportunity right now to recount all the things that he has bestowed upon you, and the benefits that he has given us, the list is endless. But when you look at the blessings with a carnal mind, you know what does we say? Oh, I'm not able to pay my bills. I only have $20 in my bank account. I have this. But the Lord has given us immense blessings that many people would cherish to have. Many people who are ungenerated would long to have. The joy of the Lord is my strength, my brother. That when everything seemed to be going haywire and everything seemed not to be making any sense, when everything seemed not to have any direction, God gives you the joy. God gives you the peace. God gives you the sense of direction. How many people, today, they seem like they have it, but they don't have a sense of direction. Guys, you know, it's the Lord who gives us a sense of direction. He tells you, he connects you up and tells you, you know what, if you cannot connect with Brother Alex, he can show you, he can connect you with another person who can connect you to another person, and that's where your destiny is. There are people who would long to have that, but they don't have it. They wake up in the morning and all they do is scratch their minds because they don't know how to have, they don't have any sense of direction. That is a blessing, my sister. That is a blessing that you have, and nobody can take it away from you. And God wants you to see that as a blessing that he has given you out of a relationship that you have with him. That even though we were far away and disconnected from God, God is still pursuing us because he sees value in us. So men might look at you and they might just define you by who you are, by what they see. You may have lost a job, my brother, and men, your friends may just look at you and disqualify you at the face value. But behind the back burner, Oh my goodness, God is working some mysterious things that they, if only they know what God is doing, they'll just stay away from you, or they will just come close to you, because in due season, when God shows up, he will come and show off for you. My God, is somebody listening to me? When God shows up for you, he will show off, because you belong to God. Do not point your finger at anybody, because you never know. Listen, my friend, when we was praying for you, you may have been lost out there, but today you're in the house of God. Hallelujah. No prayer goes unanswered. We may have prayed, never saw you the first time today, buddy. And we pray that you'd come into church. Today you're sitting with mom and pop. Oh my goodness. This is the joy that the Lord talks about. That even though you might pray today and may not see the answer, I'm praying and investing my prayer in the future, because I know in a future determinable time, the Lord will write your vision onto the wall, because even though it shall tarry. Oh Jesus, I know I'm speaking to somebody. Write your vision on the wall. And many times it may not make any sense. The situation around you may not even be speaking anything towards the situation that God is going to do in the future. But even though, my God, the Bible says, write your vision on the wall. Because even though it tarries, it shall surely come to pass. My prayers are never wasted. When I pray and I kneel down and talk to God about souls that are in Dallas, Texas, that are generated, I know for sure God is going to send somebody. I know when they're flipping on the channels, they're going to flip on TBN or Marcos Lam channel, and they're going to lead somewhere. Somebody's going to come and tell them about Jesus. It might not be me. It might be you. It might be somebody God is going to send so that they can proclaim the gospel to them. Are you listening to me, church? This is good. But even though we were far distance from the Lord, yes, he is still pursuing us. And he said, I will betroth you. Oh my goodness, I will. This is what the Bible says in book verse 19. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness. You know, back in the day, for the sake of those who do not come from where we come from, I happen to come from another continent, you know, and God by his grace has put me in another beautiful continent. But in the continent where I come from, when you are interested in a woman, you don't just snatch her and go. Okay? I think even here, right? You have to pay what they call dowry. And back in Kenya, what they do, they want live animals. You know, they say animals that are mooing or maying. You know, we don't want to just, you know, that you're going to give me two animals. I want, you know, live animals that are going to say, the father wants to know that you brought something for that woman. Okay? Ambrose is not going to snatch you and go. No. He has to bring some live animals. You know? And you bring those animals, and there are so many things that go on. And finally, the date is set, and a wedding is set. And so, you know, the families come together. And finally, you know what goes on. And the wedding is set, and it's a glorious experience. And you become, finally, you're married, you're husband and wife. Okay? But you have to pay for the dowry. If you don't pay for dowry, you still have to pay. They'll be pestering you. I remember when I was getting married, my father-in-law has so much money. And in my lack of wisdom, I said, Kwani, what did I say? I said, this woman is like a piece of land. Because of the so much money I was being asked, I think I was being asked to pay up almost 107. And they put even some cents in there. I was wondering how they were calculating. And I was saying, my wife is like a small piece of land that I'm buying. But anyway, cut a long story short, we negotiated. I think I didn't pay as much as, you know. But I paid something, though. And this is exactly what the Lord says. I will betroth you for me forever. And listen, this is the beautiful part of it. I will betroth you to me in righteousness. In other words, I'm ready to pay the bridal price. I'm ready to pay the dowry. The dowry that I'm paying to you is righteousness. You are not righteous, but you know what? I am unlimited in righteousness. So because I'm really interested in you, I am opening up my stores of heaven to unleash a righteousness. So he says, I will betroth to you. Oh, glory to Jesus. I'll betroth to you in righteousness and in unlimited measure. So when we come to God, God unleashes his store of righteousness. I will be betrothed to you in faithfulness. I will be bestowed to you in justice. Oh my goodness. Let me tell you, if you didn't know that you have a lot of justice in you, wait until you've seen murder. See, everybody's reacting right now, especially the church. They are mad. How? Because deep inside you, there's justice. You feel this is not just. It is not right for these kids to have lost their lives. That's why we are emotional. We feel like we can bombard the kingdom of the devil and tell him, enough is enough for you terrorizing our children. Why? Because it's justice in abundance in your heart. Are you listening to me? I will be betrothed to you in righteousness. I'll be betrothed to you in justice. I'll be betrothed to you in loving kindness. Oh my God. Think about this. The Lord has paid dowry. The dowry that he paid is not in meh or mo. But what he paid is loving kindness. I am bringing bags of loving kindness to you. Listen, man, this is good, man. I like this. You know, dowry of loving kindness. And it is in unlimited measure. That means that when he's betrothed to you, not only are your parents going to have that loving kindness, but you are also going to be partaker of that loving kindness. I'm going to be betrothed to you in loving kindness. Are you listening to me? I'll be betrothed to you in faithfulness. And after you have all these things, you will know the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. See, what the Bible says is, when this woman who was Goma, she was pursuing her lovers. And she was doing all these other things, running away from the love of her husband. But the husband never gave up on her. She continued to pursue her. And here, Jose is saying, this is your mother. She's addressing to her children, is telling her, speak to your mother because this is no longer my mother. Praise the Lord. And she says that, you know what? These vineyards that I have are from the money that I have benefited or have been given by my lovers. She was a prostitute. You know, when you're a prostitute, you know what happens? I don't want to go into graphic things, but you know, when you're a prostitute, you are paid for the services of prostitution. And this is what she says. Think about this. She says, oh, are these not the vineyards that I have bought and purchased from the proceeds of my prostitution? And the Lord says, oh, now this you have bought from the proceeds of your prostitution. You have failed even to recognize that these are the blessings that I gave you. What can you make as a human being of your own? What can you achieve by yourself? Church, listen to me. What can we do by ourselves? You know what? I love the GPS. You know those GPS units? How many of you have used a GPS here? Everybody. Do you know a GPS? A GPS does not do work by itself. How many of you just received a breakthrough about that knowledge? A GPS does not work by itself. And how do I know that? You go to downtown Dallas, in the midst of those tall buildings, do you know what it tells you? No? Searching for signal. So I cannot tell you where to go because I am obstructed. I am in the midst of a crowded area. I don't know. I need a connection, but I cannot because of these tall buildings that I see. I'm so crowded. Huh? But as long as the moment you leave those tall buildings in the downtown area, there's a little glass, that little glass that fills up and turns around, tells you that it's searching for the satellite. And immediately it connects to the satellite. Oh my God. It tells you, oh, turn left, you turn left here, turn right here, you are almost at your destination. Okay? Is that all that the GPS tells you? And when you're in the downtown, do you cast, you're really using some verbal words on that GPS? No, look at this GPS. Have you ever been frustrated? You don't know where you're going. The GPS fails to work. And even though you never verbalized the words, you spoke some words in your heart. If the manufacturer is the Garmin, you really spoke some dirty words concerning Garmin or your navigator. Let me tell you, church, the Lord speaks to us in little things. You are just a little GPS. What the Lord has done is that he has poured your loving kindness into you in unlimited measure. He has poured faithfulness into you. He has poured justice into us. And let me tell you, unless the Lord directs us where we are supposed to go,
We cannot go by ourselves. The reason why we stumble is because we are so crowded. We're in a crowded area. And you know what? We need to respond to the message. Evangelist Noel talked to us about Zacchaeus, for some of you, however you pronounce it. Zacchaeus was a tax collector and he needed to see Jesus. And what did Zacchaeus do? He ran away from the crowd, climbed out on a sycamore tree. Because of his height and stature, he would not see Jesus. And so he looked for a way he would see Jesus. He went, climbed out on a sycamore tree, and sure enough, as Jesus was passing by, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus crouched on a tree. And he told me, today I'm going to be your friend. Praise be to God. There's nothing that we cannot do by ourselves. We are limited. Julius, you told us this morning, what can we do but God? What can you achieve but God? You've been trying to look for your peace, but you cannot have it by your own self. Unless, see, Jesus said, this is what Jesus said. The things that I do not do by my own self. But I do as I see who? The Father doing them. Praise the Lord. There's nothing that Jesus would have accomplished here on earth unless he saw his heavenly Father do. And he said, I've been sent by my Father to do some work here on earth, and I am not going to adjudicate or do or accomplish or achieve anything unless I see or I hear my Father telling me to do it. And he says, just the same way I was sent by my Father, I send you in the same manner. Praise the Lord. So many of us are frustrated just because we are trying to do things that God is supposed to. Things that we have never even heard from the Lord. You know, the moment you're a small unit, a spiritual stronghold, turn to somebody, tell them you're a spiritual stronghold. A divine spiritual stronghold. Yeah, you know, when we talk about spiritual stronghold, you think about just the devil. You know, we bind strongholds. You know, those are demonic strongholds. But they are also divine and godly strongholds, right? So that stronghold is supposed to communicate with a set light, who is God, and he's supposed to tell us, this is the way to go. Many times you're stranded and you don't know what to do. You know, all you got to do is stand still and wait for directions from the set light. And the set light is going to tell you, hey, you know what? There is a low bridge up there, and if you go there, you're going to shatter your car. There is no entry. You might be seeing that like there is a road, but there is a construction ahead. So the GPS is telling you you might want to detour because you're going to be frustrated when you go ahead there. But you know, anybody who is not connected to the satellite, he sees the road and he goes. And when you get to the construction, you're wondering, why did they not put signs? Why did this GPS not tell us? But you know what? The GPS is not tapping. Oh my goodness, where's Catherine? Thank you, Jesus. Are you listening to me, church? We need to be connected to the set light, because the moment we are connected to the set light, listen to what the Bible says. Jesus in this situation, in John chapter 9, and I'm just about to close. John chapter 9 verses 4. Jesus is passing by. The Bible doesn't tell us where he's passing to. But this is exactly what he says. John 9, 4. You can go read it at home. Jesus is passing by, and the Bible says that there was a man who was blind from birth. Okay? And as he's passing by, the disciples ask Jesus, oh, now, what happened to this guy? I mean, he was born blind from birth? What really happened? The story is right there. And he says, no. Did he seen all his parents? Jesus says, no, he never seen. Neither he nor his parents. That is what we call a dysfunction. It was a dysfunction. And what did Jesus say? Jesus says something that is very, very interesting. Did this man see nor his parents, but that... neither did this man sin, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. Underline this word here. Might be manifest in? Therefore, there are some dysfunctions that we see in our community. Dysfunctions that you see in your workplace. Dysfunction that you see in your family. They are not there just because, you know, there was an accident or there was a problem. But those dysfunctions are there so that the work of the Lord might be manifest in? Ha! Are you listening to me? My God, that is just a point you could have said amen. Because some of us are in a place whereby we are complaining and we are pulling and we are yelling. We are hating people just because of dysfunctions in our society. But you know, those situations, God has placed them so that the work of the Lord might be manifest in? Oh my God, you could have said a big amen there. so that the works of the Lord should be manifest in them. And listen, this earth is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. They are waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God, because there's something in the sons of God, something invested in the sons of God. There is abundance of loving kindness. There is an abundance of faithfulness. There is an abundance of justice. There is an abundance of mercy. There is an abundance of love, so that when these dysfunctionalities are met with by the children of God, something will be able to happen. They are waiting for us to be manifested. Abortion clinics are operating. They are waiting for the sons of God to be manifested. They are waiting for somebody to get on their knees and call upon heaven and bombard the gates of the Bible. Says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. It is God is talking about you and me. God is talking about the power that is invested in a believer. Oh God, I wish you know. There is a marriage relationship that has been bestowed. You've been connected to a super satellite, so that when you pray, God is able to tell you, this is exactly what I want you to do. God is willing and ready to give you a set of instructions. He wants you to give you ways of how to pray. That's why you should not be ignorant. Listening to me, there are people who do not listen to CNN. There are people they don't even read a newspaper. Oh, I'm a believer. God told me just read the Bible. What are you doing with that magazine over there? Children are being killed. Christians are killed in Indonesia. How are you going to know? I read about osmosis. Osmosis is a process whereby I know you got the joke. Osmosis is the process whereby a highly concentrated solution flows. I can't remember my biology, but it flows from a highly concentrated solution into a low concentrated solution. It does all that by itself. It doesn't need God, doesn't need nobody to do it. Osmosis operates. As long as those conditions are there, osmosis will take place. That reminds me, we were doing an exam. we were doing an exam. And this guy just didn't know what he was doing in the exam. And he said, osmosis, what does it eat? He was told, what is osmosis? And this guy wants to just take a quiver. Hey, what osmosis eat? Let me tell you, that was so funny. What does osmosis eat? So you're not going to know, acquire this knowledge by osmosis. You got to be acquainted. Know some of the things that are happening in the Senate. Know some of the things that are happening in the House of Congress. What are the bills that are just about to be passed? That gives you enough knowledge to pray, right? No, why? What's the reason? Investigate. Do a self-investigation. Why do we have matters in the schools? What can I do? I mean, what steps do I need to take so that I can pray rightfully, so that there will be a response to the need that we have in the schools? We have to be people who are proactive. Not just, it's good to read the Bible, but you know what? Some of the things, the current affairs that are happening in a day-to-day basis are only in a general form in the Bible. But you need to know the specifics. Read your Bible and read the news. Get to know what is happening. Do not be ignorant. My people perish because of? So this is what the Bible says, and this is very important in John 9:4, and I'm concluding. This is exactly what he said. When he looked at this man, and after he answered his disciples, this is exactly what he said. He said, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is still day. For night comes when no man can. Work. What does it mean? As long as you have that opportunity, then you have to maximize the gracing that the Lord has. I used to remember, I used to work in a bank long, long time ago. And I remember my manager used to walk by, back in Africa. The managers don't do nothing. They just walk by you and they're just looking at you. And in one of the meetings, he told us, I would like everybody to have collective responsibility. That word never left my mind up to now. Collective responsibility. You know what collective responsibility means? That you've been called to sweep to sweep the floor, or anybody has, Sister Wanja has been called to decorate here, and Sister Evangelist Noel has been called to just come and charge us up in the ways of the Lord. But how many of you know that if you walk, even though that is not your responsibility, and you walk by the doors of the church and the church is dirty, you're not going to say that Sister Wanja's not here to clean it up, but you're going to take the broom and clean it. That is what is called collective responsibility. There are some things that God called us to have collective responsibility in preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Are you listening to me? Everybody, it is up to everybody. When something goes wrong into the body of Christ, it is our responsibility to do it right. Oh, you know, pastor is not here. He's the only one who can pray for this situation so that it can be rectified. No! You have been showered with loving kindness. You've been showered with faithfulness. You've been showered with an abundance of justice. And you can do the same thing that anybody else can do. Collective responsibility. And Jesus said that we must do the works of him that sent me while he's still dead, for the night comes when no man can work. Let me tell you, church, as I conclude. This is the fourth time I'm concluding. Bear with me, though. When you're in the grave, you're done. When somebody dies, that's it. You think there's a communication that goes on in the grave? You know, actually, the Bible says in the Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 10, that whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Okay? For in the grave, there's no device, there's no word, there's no work, there's no communication, there's no mobile phone, there's... That's what the Bible says, yeah? There's nothing there. You think when you're in a casket, you know, those guys say, oh, are you feeling, Mr. Johnny? What's going on? Oh, these guys, man, just place me in this casket. That's all I see. All I see is this casket over here. There's nothing like that, man. You're gone. You cannot encourage anybody. They may have even buried you with the most expensive suit and then even a watch and your sunglasses, you know, things that you loved. And the keys to your, you know, Rolls Royce. They may have put them in there. But you know, you're nothing. Huh? You're dead. That's a word. Thank you, man. You're dead. I encourage nobody. If you had money in the bank, can't help anybody. It's gone. Actually, some people might even be spending your money. Huh? So you must do the work of him that sent you while you're still breathing, man. Are you listening to me? Some of you have been called to encourage people, and you've sat down on that gift for a long time. Some of you have been called to go out and witness to other people. How many people have you witnessed since God told you to go and witness? How many? How many souls have you brought to the Lord? Or how many people even did you invite to church since January? Lift up your heart. Okay. We must do the works of him that sent us while it is still there, for night comes when we cannot do. See, the enemy would want you to kill you today. Because when he knows that when he kills you, if God wanted to use you, he will not use you when you're in the grave. When they put you in that 6x6, I don't even know why. Is it 6x4? Huh? 6x2? Whatever the dimensions. When they put you in there, you're done. Until if you die in the Lord, then you have a hope. But you know what? It will be so frustrating when other saints are coming up and they are being followed by works. You know, they are looking, actually, they cannot even see where their works, because the Bible says that the works will follow us. But you only have one, or maybe a half. You know, you'll be wanting to really try to hide with those that have a lot so that at all they can only require one. You're gone. So we must do the works of him that sent us while it is still there. Do it, man. Do it. You can do it. God doesn't expect us to be an explosive, but you can do it in a little way. Encourage somebody, picking up the phone, calling somebody who is in need. Any dysfunction is an opportunity. Listen. And as you stand, any dysfunction that you see, be it in the community, be it in your family, be it in your workplace, be it in wherever you are, it is an opportunity you ought to seize. It is an opportunity for the works of the Lord to be manifested. And there's no way that work can be done by osmosis. You, the child of God, you, the believer, seize that opportunity and do it. Could be somebody who is down and needs an encouragement. Maybe a son who is lost and a son who needs to be in the church, and you pray for that son and he comes into the house of God and it can be done. Stand on your feet. I know some of you are waiting for that moment, but it's good.
Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, chapter 1, that we need to be imitators of God. God in his faithfulness and loving kindness loved us even when we were unlovable. And the Lord wants us to love even those who are unlovable. Those people who do not fit our description of love, or who don't even fit in the description of our class. Who are people that you cannot talk to. Any dysfunction. Think about it. Any dysfunction, whether in society, in your family, or wherever, it is an opportunity that you ought to seize and do the works of the Lord. Lift up your right hand right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've just communicated this word, Lord, the way you told me to. And Father God, I'm included in this, your children, I'm your child as well. There's some stuff, Lord, I'm not even anywhere close, Father God. I talked to them about a GPS. I need to be also included in there. Lord, you know I'm an imperfect person. I have so many weaknesses, Lord. But I thank you so much because you came to speak to us, Lord. Father, if you can help us, Lord, to rise and step up to our positions where we can adjudicate your purposes, Father, here on earth, we would be eternally grateful. Father, we choose not to be weak or to grow weary, Lord, in times when we really, our services are really needed most in the body of Christ, Lord, like the children who died and their lives were terminated, Father. I believe that if we can pray, I believe if we can turn around, Lord, and do a 360 and turn to you, Father, and cry out, Father, we are not going to have this episode again in America. Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus, that God, that your place will be restored back in the schools and in the public places, in the public offices, in the realms of government, in the name of Jesus. Unhindered, Lord, Father God, even when they have chased you out, my God, let them know, Father God, that your presence cannot be obstructed, Father. You are omnipresent. Oh, God, how can we kick out the all-knowing God? The one who knows our future. The one who knows and can tell who we are. Father God, forgive us. Even where we have kicked out you out of our homes, where we never regarded you or gave you the first place, Lord, I pray that we have repented and that, Father, we shall bring you back into our homes. We shall go back to those days when we used to go to do communions, Father. Do Bible studies with our children. Pray together. Teach them the word of God. And Father, in so doing, Lord, we shall be responding to the call of ministry, which tells us that put the word of God on your doorsteps, on every place of your home, so that it shall be a remembrance. As you did to these children of Israel, Father God, you restored their vineyards, Lord. When you were betrothed to them, Lord, you restored their vineyards. Oh, no longer was the word bar mentioned by their mouths. I pray that our mouths shall sing your praises. We shall trust you. We shall see the goodness of the Lord every single moment of our lives. Father, there is a seal of ownership into every one of these children, Lord. I pray that none of them will be led astray by the devil in the name of Jesus. I rise against the principalities of the devil, of the enemy, in the name of Jesus. I castigate every work of the enemy in the name of the Lord. And I pray, Lord, even like Isaiah, Father God, we shall see the Lord. And we shall see the train of his robe just filling the temple. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, how I desire that every single one of us shall see you in the newness of life and see the impetus of what you can do when we connect with you, my God. In the name of Jesus. We need you more than ever before. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you shall guide, direct, and shield every single one of these. I pray that, Father God, you shall stop the affairs of the enemy that are being mooted and networking against their lives and affairs. I come against demons that are assigned to come and destroy the lives of our children. I come against principalities and rulers in the high places that have been designated and designed to come and kill our finances. I destroy every work of the enemy that has particularly been sent to come and demoralize us and make us weary in doing the things of the ministry. In the name of Jesus, I pray that we shall be alert.
I pray that we shall be attentive even to the precepts of the Word of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, send these children out with a, package them with your glory. Package them, Lord, with a protective shield, Lord, of the blood of Jesus, where the enemy can do them no harm. To the glory and honor of your name. You might be in this place, never giving your life to Jesus. Receiving Jesus is very easy. If only you believe in your heart, the Bible says in Romans 10:10, that you know you believe him and he comes and saves you. And only you need to confess with your mouth unto salvation. Believe in with your heart unto righteousness, confess your mouth unto salvation, and the Lord is going to save you. He is knocking at the door of your heart. You know, receiving Jesus is not just a big old experience, you know, where you feel like a big thing happening in your heart, but it's just by faith. He just comes in silently and settles in your life, and he gives you a brand new life. You might be here, you're that kind of a person, and you want to surrender your life to Jesus. Lift up your hand right now. I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody right now? Thank you, Jesus. Father, may you bless your people, Father, this afternoon as they go home. May you protect them. May you shield them. Be their shelter in the name of Jesus. Lift up their heads, Father, in these times of uncertainty, that they will be able to see the Lord in all that they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may have your seats just briefly, and then we can hear the announcements.